I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 2. Last time I ministered was at 9 o'clock, and I talked about how to unlock the wisdom of God. And so we're going to get into the wisdom of God again, part 2, how to unlock God's wisdom. We live in a day and an hour that we need the wisdom of God more than ever before. And we see crazy stuff happening, chaos happening in the world, war and shootings and terrible things happening. And we know the Bible says there's even more bad stuff to come. And this is the hour, more than any, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to hear from God. We need His guidance. We need to be able to hear His Spirit, hear His voice, hear His wisdom. Open up the Scriptures, the Word of God, and understand wisdom so that we can get the direction we need. We have decisions that we have to get right on the first try. We need to hear from God and get it right on the first try. And I'm afraid that many of the church is not heeding the wisdom of God. You know, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and wisdom cries out in the streets. And the question is, who is hearing? Who is listening to the wisdom of God that's crying out? Will you hear today? Will you listen to the wisdom that God is trying to give you through His holy written word, the Scriptures, and the things that He's speaking and imparting into our lives by His Holy Spirit? This is a word for those that are in the church. I know, we're all possibly going through situations, some bigger than others. You know, I was out for about a week because my mother, about 2 weeks ago, had a stroke. And so I'm just seeking God. I'm seeking God's direction and God's wisdom. And I know He's given me wisdom. We have to make some decisions. The family has to make decisions. And God is just, you know, opening doors, and He's guiding us. He's ministering life and healing to my mother. But there's things we have to do. And so we all come to times in our life where we have to make decisions. There's crises that happen. And so we need to be a people that seek wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs is teaching us. We must seek it. Let's go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "If thou seekest her," talking about wisdom, like it's a person, right? "If you seek her as silver and searchest for her, as for a hidden treasure, then shalt thou know," or "shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says in another place. We have to have a fear, a reverence for God. That's the beginning of all wisdom. That's putting God as God. He is the highest and the greatest. We must have a fear of the Lord to even open the door to wisdom. But here it says, here's the key, and why I believe so many are missing it, is we're not seeking wisdom. To even understand the fear of the Lord, you have to seek for wisdom as you're searching for hidden treasure. In other words, you know, when people back in the olden days, they went to looking for gold across this nation, they didn't just walk around on the ground and it was just sitting around on the ground. They had to do some digging. They had to do some work. They had to get in. And that's the way God has His wisdom. It's just not out in the open. You have to seek for it. He hides things so that we may seek them, that we may discover them. And it is His delight to reveal His wisdom to His church, to reveal His wisdom to you. He wants to guide you. Whatever decisions you're making, whatever you're going through, it is His desire to guide you. But we have to seek Him. We so often want to do it our way, and we get our own results. We get the results of us doing things our way, and of course, we get things in a mess. But we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God in us, the wisdom of God in us, to give us the directions we need. Some of you, I know, are seeking for direction this morning. You're asking for help for a situation. God is going to give it to you. But here's the first clue. You've got to seek it. It's just not automatic. You have to be someone that pursues after the things of God. For verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom; out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Where does He speak? Well, He speaks, of course, right here in His written word, the Bible. So we start with the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God, which is without error. It is perfect. It has no flaws. They've been trying to destroy it for eons. You know, I used to go to a college, a secular college, and I took one of the Bible classes, and oh, I wish I hadn't. I think it was on the Old Testament or something. And all it was, instead of a survey of the Old Testament, it was critiquing God's word and trying to find every place where it seems to be a contradiction. And you know, saying that the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament and all this nonsense. No, God's word is perfect. It is the same God. And we can trust that this is without error because this has stood the test of time for thousands and thousands of years. And these critics, they're coming and they're going one day and they'll be gone. And this will stand for all of eternity. We start with the word of God. So we start with getting the fear of the Lord. That's putting God first, a reverence for God in our life. Okay? And then we have to seek to get understanding. What is the fear of the Lord? What is the scripture saying to me? When you're going through a situation trying to make a decision, do you go to the Bible or do you go have a powwow with someone else and say, well, let's sit down and talk about what we should do? First, we should know, what does the scripture say about the situation? It might not talk about your specific situation. It's not going to give you details. Okay, you should go to work at this place. We understand that. But it can give you that guidance that we need. It can give you general guidance. Okay, these are the principles of wisdom, and we're going to walk through some practical steps, some principles of wisdom, that if we walk in these, we will hear from God. We will get the guidance and the answer that we need today. So we start with the Word of God. What does the Bible say about my situation? That's where we always want to start. And then we spend time in prayer. We start seeking God in prayer, and He will give you His Spirit speaking to you and giving you guidance as well. So let's look at the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Now, I've already gone through these the last time I ministered, and I'm just going to kind of summarize and go through these again quickly. But here's some, you could call these some steps into hearing from God, into getting the direction you need right now. And really, these principles will be any time we need to hear from God, we can do these things. Proverbs 3, verse 1 says this, "My son, forget not my law." Okay? First thing I want to stop right there, forget not. What does forget not mean? That means, you know, when we're faced, when we get some information, when we hear something, we make a decision, okay, that's important or that's not important. And if it's not important, we forget it. We discard it. We reject it. We don't think about it. But if it's important, we try to remember it. We try to obtain it and keep it in our mind. And that's what he's talking about here, is get God's word, get God's wisdom. Do not forget it. Do not discard this. I'm going to go through some things that people have discarded and not put much value on. See, we have unfortunately put value on the wrong things. We've put value on things that are of vanity, that are of no value. How many likes and clicks can I get? How much money can I accumulate? How much popularity can I get? How many people are following me? You know, how good am I looking? You know, people become obsessed with, you know, the fashion industry or the beauty industry and all these things that are of no value in the long run, eternally speaking. Okay? We have to put value on things that are valuable, which is the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the things of the kingdom of God, and discard things that are unimportant. Okay? And that's where we've missed it. We've forgotten the Word of God, and we put value on unimportant things. So forget not my law. That's really the first practical step. Forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. This is something of the heart. It is not something of the head. It is not something of your emotions. From the heart, you must make a decision. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek the wisdom of God. I need God in my life with every decision in my life. I want God to help me to make every decision. We should often be praying the prayer, God, give me wisdom today. Help me to deal with my workplace. Help me to deal with my relationships. Help me to deal with my children. We need God's wisdom with all these things. Again, you're going to get the results of what you've been getting without seeking God. You're going to have chaos in all these different places. But when you start seeking God, we're going to read here in just a moment, He will direct you. He will guide you. Praise God. So again, we got to place value on the right things, and we must seek and do His commandments. In other words, when God tells you to do something, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer, right? We know that. Not just a hearer, but a doer. That means obey the commandments. Obey the things that God is directing you to do. Because when we seek for wisdom and God gives you the answer, sometimes we don't like the answer. And we're like, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. That takes some faith right there. That's scary, stepping out onto nothing but God's word. But that's where he wants us. That's where he wants us, church. We have to be a people that are being led by God's wisdom and God's spirit, stepping out in faith with nothing but God to catch us. That's where we need to be. And that's where we are the safest place. It feels, your emotions, your mind, your logic will tell you that's a dumb move. But it's the safest place to be because you're in God's hands. And that's when we also get to see the miraculous. That's when we see God do things for us that we'll never see anywhere else in the world. Praise God. So obey God's wisdom. I'm going to drop down to verse 3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy, this word mercy actually means loving kindness. We sung about the loving kindness of God. Well, he's talking about you being loving and kind, okay? Merciful, loving, and kind. See, that's one of those things that we don't place a lot of high value on. But he's telling you, through the Spirit of God, it is important that you walk in loving kindness towards other people. It is important. Let not mercy or loving kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tables of your heart. He's talking about your heart again. Okay, not your head, your heart. All right? So, loving kindness. You know, this is so important that we actually have to treat people kind. We have all kinds of messed up relationships because we're not kind to people. And we're not truthful. Truth and loving kindness, he says, these are the keys really to wisdom and to relationships with people. We have broken relationships. You know, ask yourself the question, am I being kind when I deal with this other person? Am I being truthful when I deal with this other person that you're having so much problems with? Often that's the root of the problem that we have with other people. But then let's get into what we have for this segment. Let's jump right into the one of the most important things that Proverbs teaches us. And you all are probably all familiar with this verse. Verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All your heart, not most of your heart, all your heart, trust him. Can you do that? Can you actually put all your trust, all your weight, all your care on God? Or do you got to hold on to something? See, fear in your life is you trying to hold on to something. That anxiety that you have is you trying to hold on to something. And we all have to deal with that. And we have to deal with it usually constantly. It's not just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to trust God. No, we all have to deal with anxiety and worry and fear when we're going through situations, tribulations, problems. We must make a conscious choice. I am not going to listen to fear. I'm going to put all my trust in God. And it's easy to say, you know that, but it's also a challenge to do. But we can do it. Now, the key, again, to Proverbs, he's always talking about the heart. See, sometimes in our mind, we can say, yes, I trust God. But in our heart, we don't. And how do we know the difference? Well, we'll know when the tribulation comes, when the storm comes, whether it was in your heart or just in your head. And we don't want to be there. We don't want to wait till the storm comes and just say, oh, yes, amen, on a Sunday morning. You can say amen to me all day on a Sunday morning, but when the trial comes, did you actually believe what the word said? Were you not just hearers, but you were doers? Because when you're a doer, you're going to react different. You're not just going to nod your head and say amen. You're actually going to go live it out. A doer is going to go out and say, I believe God's word. And it'll change not only what you say, but what you think and what you do. That is what is wisdom right there. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. So when we have problems in life, you know you believe from the heart because you're like, God's got this. Everything looks like it's falling apart. You know, when my mother had the stroke, I go into the hospital room and she's in terrible shape. I mean, honestly, she looked horrible. She was in extreme pain. The doctors couldn't help the pain. They were drugging her. They were trying all kinds of drugs, and nothing helped the pain whatsoever. And so it just looked like a bad situation. But I just had peace in my heart. I said, I know God's got this. I know God is going to minister to her, you know. And she had a stroke and on the left side of her brain, which stopped the right side of her whole body, and her whole arms, leg, right arm and right leg doesn't work. And so I just put it in God's hand, laid hands on her, prayed for her, and God just started working, ministering life and healing to her, and she's getting better and better every day. Praise God. Amen. She got her hand back. She's starting to get her arm back, and I'm waiting for that leg to come back so she can get walking again. Praise God. But it's the storms of life that tell us, do you really believe God? Because my head and my emotions can be going crazy, but that's not my heart. Understand, there's a difference between your head and your emotions. I mean your heart and your emotions, and your heart and your head. Your heart is the real you. That's where, you know, you really believe and trust. Trust is on the inside. It's your inward man. And so just because you have those thoughts of anxiety and worry, that's not necessarily your heart. You can cast that aside and in your heart say, I know God's got this. I trust him through this. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, we have situations where we don't know enough. We can't figure everything out. And we try to do that a lot of times. That's where we try to go back to our own understanding. That's what it talks about here. Lean not. That lean means to put all your weight upon. If I'm leaning on a wall, I'm putting all my weight on that wall. I'm not going to lean on my own natural understanding. I don't know enough. I don't know the future. I don't know the answer to every problem. But God does. God's given me wisdom. He's given me the spirit of wisdom. And I can lean on him and say, everything's going to be all right. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He's looking on your situation. He does love you. He does care about what you're going through. He cares about it more than you do. You just don't know that sometimes. We can forget that. But he loves you, and he loves those people that you love even more than you love them. He cares about your relationship. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your relationship with your children. All these things that can be such a heavy burden on our heart, we can cast that burden on him. Say, God, help this situation. Help me find the direction I need in this situation. Because we don't see everything. We don't know that God is working because we can't see it, right? But we know, in our heart, we know God is working. He's working on our behalf. Hallelujah. And we have to trust that he is in these hard situations. You know, the world, they have nothing to have faith in. They have nothing to put their trust in. And that's why they're in constant chaos, constant fear and anxiety. I would hate to not be a Christian in the world we live in today. How do you deal with these things you're seeing on TV? I mean, your mind has to be at total depression. But we have hope. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know God is in us. God is with us by the Holy Ghost. He is on our side. If we're in Christ, He is in us. And here's the great thing. He hears our prayers. We know he hears our prayers, the Bible says, if we pray according to his will. So we always have faith. We always have hope. We always have confidence that God is hearing us and doing something. Now, we always want him to work faster, but understand that he is working. And the most important thing is not how fast he works, but that when you cast the care on him, he does have it. But we do have to cast the care on him. If we hold it, we hold on to it, well, the care is on us. We carry the burden. We're shouldering all the weight. But when we cast it on him, he's got this thing. We're trusting him. Hallelujah. This is part of, again, wisdom. Cast your care on him. Don't depend on your own understanding. We always want to try to figure it all out. We want our intelligence, a lot of times, our logic, our past experiences to say, well, I've done this and I know the answer to this, so let's do this. That can be very dangerous if you're not putting God first, if you're not reverencing God first. And it doesn't, you know, well, let's go ahead and read it. Let's read the next The next verse, verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him. That means, you know, don't just kind of give a nod to God from time to time and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this food. Amen. And that's, you acknowledge him for the food, but what about everything else he's given you? What about the blessings he's given you? What about all he's given you in Christ? What about all the blessings he's given in your life and your home and your family and your kids and all the things? He is the source of all that is good in your life. We are to acknowledge him in all our ways. In other words, our life should be a lifestyle of just saying thank you. We just sung that song. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for all that you've given us. It shouldn't just be in a church on a Sunday morning. Our life should be a life of gratefulness all the time. Again, this is the key, okay? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Not he might. So again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So he's not obligated to direct your path unless we're doing these things. Trusting him, not leaning on our own understanding, and acknowledging him in all our ways. Everything we do should be acknowledging him for his goodness. That's why we praise God during a worship service. So God can start ministering by his Spirit, his word, his wisdom, his revelation. It's all part of opening ourselves up and saying, it's not me, Lord, it's you. I can't do this. I don't have the answers. I am weak, but you are strong. And when we get that, and that's part of it, is humbling ourselves when we realize our weakness and say, Lord, I cannot do this, but I know you can. And that's the two sides of the coin. We can say, Lord, I can't do this, and then just, you know, get no help. No, we have to humble ourselves and realize, yes, I am weak, but you are strong. It's two sides of the same coin. We have to give it to God and say, now, Lord, I'm looking to you. We lean not to our own understanding. Now, this is important. That doesn't mean that we don't use our minds. God gave us a mind, and we are to use our minds, okay? You know, some people get so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. No, not using not leaning on your own understanding is talking about not leaning to carnal ways of looking at things, carnal thinking, carnal, it's all on me, and this is how I'm going to solve this problem. No, it's talking about having a spiritual mind, a mind that's been transformed and renewed by God's word. That is not leaning on your own understanding. That's using your mind to trust God. It's a mind that says, let's seek God first, as opposed to the carnal mind that's going to say, oh, let me figure this out, right? That's the difference, is putting God first. Seeking God first looks like getting in, what does the word say? What does the scripture say? Let's spend some time in prayer and see what the Holy Ghost is saying. That's putting God first. That's not leaning on your understanding, right? So he's talking about a transformed, renewed spiritual mind. So we are to be using our mind. He's given you a mind just for that purpose, is to be using it. Some people's minds or brains are nothing more than a hat rack. But he wants us to be thinking, but we have to think spiritually in line with his word. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It has to be a mind that trusts God first, that has faith. That's one of the best definitions of faith, is trust. I'm going to trust him through this situation. That's a spiritual mind. That's putting spiritual things first. You know, it's not just a blind faith. We don't ever have blind faith in Christianity. Our faith is founded in the word of God. Go back to, what does the scripture say about this situation? Now you have something to latch your faith onto and say, God, because you said this in your word, I'm going to trust you. This is what your word says. And now you've got something to hold on to get you through whatever it is you're dealing with. Trust him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Not he might, He absolutely will. And what does that look like? Directing your path. Sometimes, you know, we get the idea, well, if he's directing my path, that means like I'm going to have a dream or a vision or an angel is going to appear. That's not what he's talking about. I mean, that happens. That happened in the book of Acts. That happens today. If he decides to do that, that's up to him. But that's not what we are to be seeking after ever. Okay? We want some guidance from God. And so what does that look like? He'll give you, he'll direct your path. In other words, when you're putting God first, he's going before you and opening the doors that need to be opened and closing the doors that need to be closed. Sometimes that's how he does it. It's not always that way, but sometimes he does. He's speaking to your heart by the whisper, by the small, still small voice of the Holy Ghost, giving you direction and guidance. That witness like, yep, that's not the right way to go. That's the right way to go. My mind says this way, but I feel like there's something wrong with that direction. It's being led by the Spirit of God, being led by God's peace inside of us. We're to be led by peace. So that's one way we hear from God, is by the Holy Spirit. And when we do, when we put God first, he directs us. And we can trust, I trust my family to you, God. You've got this. You know, we can have terrible things happen. Our children can get sick. And we can put this in God's hand and say, God, you've got this. And go to the scripture. What does the scripture say about this? And trust him. Trust him for healing. Trust him for life. Trust him for restoration of the body. We have all that in scripture. And thank God for it. We need direction. What do we do with our business, maybe? Should we get into partnership with this person over here? Well, I can tell you if they're not a Christian, they're probably, well, almost certainly not someone you want to get into business with, okay? A lot of people make bad decisions because they're thinking logically, they're thinking about the money instead of what would God direct me to do? What's the principles that God is telling me in his holy word? God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your children. He has a plan for, I mean, really all of eternity. All of eternity. But we have to seek God and align ourselves with his will. Verse 7, it says this, be not wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. Again, we're talking about the principles of wisdom so that we can get the guidance and the help we need. And what is being wise in your own eyes? Well, that means you're comparing yourself with other people. You know what? I know more than that person. I'm better than that person. I'm smarter. I'm this. I'm stronger. I'm richer. I'm this or that. And so you think, you start to look down on that other person. And you start to think that, you know what? I'm the greatest. I'm the best. You know what? God's with me because look at all these blessings I have. I'm this smart and I'm this strong and I've got so much money and all these things. That's being wise in your own eyes. And that's the way to be really a fool, okay? It says, you know, there was a famous philosopher and someone asked him, you know, what makes you different than other people? And he says, well, other people don't know anything. And I don't know anything. What makes me different than other people is that I know that I don't know anything. And that's a good mentality. Even though that was a secular philosopher, that's wisdom right there. We need to know that we don't know anything. We don't compare ourselves with other people. If you want to compare yourself with someone, compare yourself with God. You realize, yeah, I know nothing. I know absolutely nothing. And we keep that attitude of humility. That's when God comes in. When we submit ourselves and humble ourselves, the grace comes in to lift us up and help us in those situations. And that's exactly what the word says in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. People just look at themselves and look at how great they are and all the things they've accomplished and have confidence in themselves. Take heed lest you fall. Anything good in my life is only because of God. Be not wise in your own eyes. Well, you know, we have to admit, anything good that's come through my life comes because of God. So that means, you know, I've been wise because I've listened to God. I've been a wise person. Now, that's where you need to be careful. You know, wisdom is like, you know, the water here, you know, bottle of water. I'm the vessel. I'm the plastic container. I'm not wise, but I have wisdom in me. I have God in me. I got God's wisdom. Therefore, I get no credit. I have everything I need because God is in me. The life of God, the wisdom of God, the spirit of wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit, is in me. Therefore, the wisdom that's being produced out of my life, I get no credit for. People say sometimes, wow, that was a good decision. That was a wise decision. I take no credit. It wasn't me. It was all him. I just fumbled and got to God's wisdom because he's directing my life. He's directing my life. I do acknowledge him. I do get on my face and acknowledge him and trust him and give him my whole life. And he makes me look like a genius sometimes. And I know, and I try to make everybody else know, yeah, that's not me. I'm not that smart, okay? It was him. The wisdom of God. It is in us and it's available to all of us. But we have to stay on our face. Fear the Lord. That was the next part of this. Fear the Lord. As I spoke about earlier, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear meaning to reverence God, to say God is God. He is the greatest. He is the creator of all things. And all of creation will bow down to him and acknowledge Jesus as Lord. He is the Almighty God. And when we really believe that, it's not just lip service. It's not just something we talk about on a Sunday morning in church. But we will change our whole life. Our whole life will point to him and say, he is God. Everything about us will be with him in mind. It's a whole different way of thinking than this world. They can't conceive these things. It's putting God as God, reverencing him as the most holy and most high. And he is just that. It is living a life of humility. Micah 6:8 says this, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, which is that kindness again, just like we already read. Do justly, love mercy, and here it is, walk humbly with thy God. We have to keep on our face before God and recognize it is not me. I don't have the answers. I don't know what I need to know, but you know everything, God. You are omniscient, all-powerful, and I need you. I need your help in this situation. Reverencing God first. Don't fear men. The Bible teaches us, don't fear them that kill the body, but fear him. This is in Matthew 10:28. We are so tempted to fear men. What are they going to do? They can do this. They can do that. Don't fear people, but fear God. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We are to reverence and put God first in our life. Then the last part, and we'll close out with this one, depart from evil. Depart from evil. So if evil shows up, you're to walk away. There are people in your life that are evil, that are bad influences in your life. Get away from them. We find ourselves back in sin because we're not saying no to certain people. Well, you know, I'm afraid to say no. Well, you need to walk away. Depart, the Bible says, from evil. Depart from evil environments, evil people, evil things. You know, if you're an alcoholic, why would you allow a bottle of alcohol in your house, in your car? Why would you ever do that? If you actually want to be free, depart. Get it all away from your house. Get it away from every area of your life. Depart from evil. We're talking about wisdom here. You have to decide, I am not ever going to go back to that sin, to that addiction. Depart from it. Now, if he tells you to do it, that means you can. This goes back to, he will give you the grace to do it, but you have to make a firm decision in your heart. I'm never going back there. I'm never going to do that again. But God, I can't do it on my own. It's the humility again. And when you humble yourself, that's when you receive the grace to do it. But as long as you think, you know what, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to stop this. And you're putting the weight back on you, and you're going to get the results you've always had, which is not much. Okay? It's truly emptying yourself of yourself, getting on your face. And that's what God was waiting for. Sometimes we speak about being broken. That's what we need in many of these situations where we can't find the answer. We can't get the deliverance or the break the addictions that we're dealing with because we're not broken. We must be broken and humbled. That's what God is waiting for, to lift you up and deliver you and raise you up. Talking about wisdom this morning. Again, the need for God's wisdom is greater today than ever before. I'm going to close with this. We live in a fallen world. We live, I believe, in the last of the last days. The clock is ticking. And we need to make the right decisions more than ever before. It can mean the difference between life and death. This is not the time to play in the world, to play with sin. Because your decisions are more important now than they've ever been. How do we get wisdom? Trust Him. With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Again, I would encourage you to check out my last sermon, the 9 a.m., to get the first half of this. All of that. God's given a whole book of wisdom to us. Open up the Bible and even open up the book of Proverbs. These will give you guidance for how to conduct your home, your relationships, your marriage, your raising kids, your business. All these things are in the book of Proverbs. But now's the time to draw closer to God. It's more important now than ever before. Again, the clock is ticking. Will you, in this critical hour, heed the voice of wisdom? Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you. You've given us your word. You've given us the wisdom we need, but we do need to seek it. We can't just say amen on a Sunday morning, but God, let us walk from this place changed and say, God, I need to do that. I need to seek you. Help me, Lord God, to seek you. I want to be free as you have given us freedom in Christ Jesus. Help me to humble myself, to be broken before you so that I could have the grace and the freedom that's available in Christ. Help me to make these decisions that are so critical in these last days for my family, for my life, for my kids. Lord, I seek you. I humble myself and acknowledge I know nothing. I can do nothing without you. I have nothing. But God, you are with me. You are in me. I know that I can pray and you will hear my prayer. And you will give me the direction, the guidance that I've been seeking. You will open up the doors that need to be open and close those that need to be closed. I trust you, Lord God, with all my heart. I pull all my weight. I lean all my weight upon you for these situations in my future and my children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's a good word. When we figure out in our Christian walk that His wisdom is so much better than our wisdom, and we begin to put our trust in even the smallest things, that we say, God, let me have your wisdom in those things, that's truly when we begin to grow. That's truly when God begins to take over our life and we have yielded to Him. I am so thankful that I don't have to lean to my own understanding, but I can lean to His. Amen. That was a good word today. We want to thank you all for joining us. We want to thank those of you who have tuned in through our webcast. We want you to know you are welcome. We want to remind all of you, our online audience and those here in-house, if you haven't had a chance to give, we want to encourage you to give so we can continue to take this message of the gospel around the world. One last reminder, next week is daylight savings time. So remember, we fall back. So remember to set your clocks appropriately so you're here on time to church next week. All right. Thank you guys again for joining us. We love you. We appreciate you. And you are dismissed.